Hello, hello, hello. You're tuning into the Late Night Talk. So, with your favorite host, me, Azzy, and tonight we have a very special guest here on board with George Samuels, founder of FIA, blockchain and crypto marketing firm here in Singapore. And we are going to be talking about the passion, the fire in us, what keeps us going even when times get rough. So, tune in, and here we go.
Thank you.
Hello, you're tuning in to the Late Night Talk Show with your favorite host, me, Abby Cheer. And tonight, we have a very special guest with us, George Samuels, founder, CEO of FIRE. Yes. And so, what's up, man?
How's it going, girl?
So, you know, tell us a little bit about your background. You know, I knew you were an animator, and you come from quite a number of backgrounds. Like, you're from everywhere.
Yeah,
like,
from everywhere. So how far back do you want me to go?
Oh, I mean...
Very first...
Like, the roots, man. Let's get down to it.
And so, having been originally a creative, so I was an animator, but was trained in multimedia systems, computer science back at uni. Always had a passion for tech, had the programming side, but I wanted to bring in the creative. So that's how I got involved in animation. Then coming out of university, and my first job was a front-end developer for a design studio that was working on all the big fashion brands for Australia. So that was including French Connection, Gap, yeah, you name it. And so I was there first, and then I ended up leaving there thinking that I could start my own thing, thinking that I could do better than my bosses there.
At the animation firm, right?
This was at the web design studio.
Yeah,
there. But that's when I went freelance. So I actually started doing jobs in web design and then also doing animated explainer videos as well.
Yeah.
So, I got thrown into the deep end, into the world of like figuring out how to make money for yourself. Which is always fun, right?
It's always the part where it's like grinding and finding the client.
Yes, exactly. But that was probably my first foray into, like, I guess the concept of entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, started hunting and did that for about a year and a bit. And then I think my missus at the time, she was like, I don't know if the inconsistent income is... much to my liking at the moment. Please get a job.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, reluctantly, I was like, okay, let me go get a job. So yeah, one of the things personally is I'm okay with, like, you know, sporadic incomes and whatnot.
Yeah.
And if anyone listening has ever been involved in business, you will find that there are definitely months where, you know, you might not have the same type of income. Ended up entering as a business development manager for a company called Dent. They weren't called that at the time, they were called Key Person of Influence. So I was working, doing sales, cold calling, etc. Then after that, that's when I started my own explainer video business on the side as a side hustle. After working a bit with the KPI guys, the explainer video business was doing well, so I was like, see you again.
It's like, yeah. I'm doing good, I'm doing my own thing.
Exactly. So then moved into that, similar thing, but this time around, instead of just me doing all the work, I did get a taste for outsourcing certain parts of the work, you know, working with a team.
Being a boss.
Yep. And that was actually going well, but then again, I hit that point too where there were still, I think, some of those moments of inconsistencies.
Mm-hmm.
And the misses. I'm not going to blame her, but you know, it's when you are living with a partner, dynamics are different. And for anyone listening as well, it is important that your partner understands the world of, you know, setting up your own business and trying to do your own thing. You definitely need some persistence and some patience there.
Yeah.
So anyways, I ended up dropping into a co-working space. A role as a community manager for that space ended up falling into my lap. I wasn't looking, community manager for a co-working space. And at the time, that thing wasn't like, it wasn't a thing. Like, nobody really knew what the hell a community manager was. But in the co-working space world, it was a thing. Read the job description, I was like, damn, this is a lot of the stuff that I love doing.
So what is, like,
a community manager? Good question. So community manager for a co-working space, essentially your role is, you know, attracting new members, but once they enter the space or become a member, you know, you're giving them tours, connecting them up, helping them network. In my particular role was doing sales and also helping out with operations, like for almost like a clubhouse manager. It was all about like just providing a really great vibe for the community offline. So there was less online, you know, a lot of times these days we have Facebook groups and what have you, online communities.
Yeah.
Offline community management is a bit different. Well, it's kind of like how it should be, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you get to see people face to face. You get to really create a sense of community. And
so it's like, it's kind of like hosting events. And,
yes. But you get to do it en masse for like a professional group of people, you know.
Yeah.
So we had folks from like, we had startups, investors, you know, people coming in and out of the country or the city. And your role was really about just like getting everybody to feel part of something bigger than themselves, bigger than their own teams and companies, and unlocking that value between people.
Yeah.
So yeah, and ended up there, and then finally ended up after that gig was at a corporation. So went from like the startup world into the corporate life.
Ah.
Yeah. Still doing community management though. So I was hired as a community manager, but a global one, to help them assist them with their own internal community platforms. So they had this tool called Jive. And yes, Jive, and that's used internally to essentially, it's like a forum, social intranet, and that's what they use to store files, share knowledge, communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But once I got in, I was like, this is 2000, at the time, what, 16? And I was like, yeah, we kind of need to do more than just this. The whole social network era by then even was already kind of being phased out.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was going towards messenger apps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, helped them out with that. And then, yeah, finally has led me to here now with Faya. Yeah, it's just, once again, people in tech. That's always been the core.
And so, what got you into blockchain?
Yes, of course. How could I forget that?
Yeah.
Okay. So during all that, 2013, when I was working at the co-working space, we were actually, I think, one of the first places to get a Bitcoin ATM. So in Australia, I think we were the first to get a Bitcoin ATM, and I would use that as part of the tour when I was giving prospective members a tour. I'd always end with the Bitcoin ATM, and it's like, here, if you want to see the future of work, here, look at this Bitcoin ATM thing. They're like, ooh, what is that? Take a picture, click. And then, that was 2013. And I remember...
before the whole bubble.
Yes, Mt. Gox and all of that, yeah. So the whole rise came 2017.
Just last year.
Yep, just last year.
I was like, oh my God, let's get on this.
Yeah, it's been crazy, and watching that space evolve from back then as well. I was featured in a documentary called The Bitcoin Doco. From there, I think it was a lot of experimentation. I checked out some of the meetups that they had there. It was very shady. It was like, you know, kind of like dark, dingy places.
Dogecoin.
Yes. And like, so it was really interesting to watch, but they were very passionate people. You know,
yeah.
They really believed in Bitcoin and what it could do to disrupt the world's financial system. I then kind of like went off for maybe about 2 years before getting back in. And then, came back in late 2015, then 16. And then, of course, we saw 2017 happen.
Mm-hmm.
And my involvement, I think, ramped up late 2016 from the community standpoint. And that eventually led me to actually working or being hired by the Bitcoin Cash Association at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all kinds of crazy. We ended up like, you know, traveling to Tokyo as a team and like setting up more than 100 meetups in 100 cities around the world. Was getting funded by a few exchanges. It was a wild ride. But because, you know, Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin, like top five coins, coin market cap, it was interesting to see at that level and at that scale how communities interact and whether they really are communities or not.
What makes a community a community?
Well, people have different definitions of this, right? So yeah, my definition. For me, community, I kind of take a lot of influence from my Polynesian culture. So that's from my mother's side. And community.
Oh, the roots.
Yeah, right? The roots, right? So from my mother's side, you know, it was very much about family.
Yeah.
Very much about doing things. You know, if somebody was in town from out of town, you'd open up your house, very deep relationships, you know, and just because of the familial connections, you'll do anything for them. Whereas when we talk about communities these days, especially online ones, they are very loosely coupled. Mm-hmm. And loosely coupled relationships are usually more networks.
Okay.
That's how we had like Facebook networks, right?
Yeah.
Or just LinkedIn. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. They're loosely coupled. Whereas if you want community, the relationships have to be much deeper. Mm. And I think a lot of people are craving that these days. You know, like a lot more intimate relationships. Mm-hmm. I think people are starting to see, even on social media, it doesn't matter how many followers you have. You know, like how many quality relationships do you have within that?
Yeah.
You know, like if you say have 100 people following you, but like, you know, like a tight-knit group of 100 people, just think about that. If you were all in a room with 100 people and you all really knew each other well.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lot more different to say if you had like, you know, even 10,000 people, but nobody really knew anything about each other.
Mm-hmm.
No relationships, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, community to me, the measure is usually around like how deep do the relationships go? And if they were hit by adversity, would they break apart easily or not?
What do you mean by adversity?
Adversity. Well, you know, like every group.
Like when something goes wrong?
Yeah, like some sort of maybe traumatic event or something occurs that kind of shakes everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's during those times that you see the strength of the relationships between people.
Yeah.
You know, and the types of people that are there too. You know, will they go out and lend a hand and actually help you, or will they just kind of not really care?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
And in a lot of online communities, I see that it's the latter.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the crypto space, right? If there is if there's a fork and somebody doesn't believe in the same thing as you do, people who were friends before all of a sudden enemies.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So it's your job as community manager, or like basically the founder of FIA, is to kind of bridge the gap between the people and the Bitcoin and the fintech world.
Yeah, so the tech, yeah. So people and tech. So to make it really easy, it's just, bridging gaps between people and tech.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing that a lot for Young, and now we're just doing that for our clients,
mm-hmm.
right? So like when I was at Iris, I was learning new tools and teaching it at the same time and rolling it out to the entire company.
Yeah.
Slack, we were, I think, Asia Pacific's first enterprise customer. Iris was, so the corporation I was working for before. And that was simply because I'd use it myself, right? Loved the thing, and then became the advocate, right? So I became the advocate so much, it ended up being, rolled out at the last company I was working for. So, you know, part of what I do is like, we bring that same energy to whoever we're working with,
mm-hmm.
you know, FIA being passion, right?
Passion.
Right.
Yeah.
So one thing is that, we do want to try and help people identify that for themselves, because you need, in our opinion, like you need an emotional connection to the things, relationship, people, places, or things, right? And when it comes to tech, it's like, it's not just that it's useful. It's like, what's your emotional relationship to that as well? You do branding, right? So you understand the importance of emotion and feeling,
mm-hmm,
as well.
Mm-hmm. So like, okay, so now here's a trick question. Like, you know how like right now Bitcoin and like all this cryptos is not really doing well, but it's called the bear market right now.
Yes.
Like, how are you still, you know, reaching out to these people who are very skeptical about tech? Especially with AI, they're like, oh, we're going to take their job. You know, they're going to take jobs. The kind of overall tone with tech is challenging. But, you know, you're still pushing it. You're still grinding
it. Well, it's if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
Right? It's important, especially in this space, because things are changing so much. Within the last year, right, like more than 90% of all the ICOs that they had, either returned their money to investors or have just run away with it. You know, and so in this space, there's been definitely a lot of scams and what have you. It's been the Wild West, but part of me loves that too.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're doing is that, you know, I've been advising our clients about like what's coming, you know, usually what's coming ahead of us, and then adjusting that way.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that we're doing it is like we're going, okay, well, the ICO market's sort of drying up. ICOs is really more just like crowdfunding, so Kickstarter, those other things, but it's just for the crypto world. That's how we compare it. And so if you look at the evolution of crowdfunding as well. It went from crowdfunding, then they tried to do crowd investing. But then crowd investing, people weren't really into that either.
Yeah.
And they ended up just going to traditional fundraising. You know, going to sophisticated investors and doing the traditional stuff. I would say that the crowd investing aspect that came after crowdfunding is similar to what's happening now too with STOs. So I don't know if you've heard of an STO. So we had ICOs, which stands for initial coin offering, for those who are listening and never heard of that before. And then now, because ICOs have gotten such a bad rap, the next evolution is like they're taking off one sticker and now calling it an STO, which stands for security token offering.
All right.
So classifying what they have as a security. Now, the STO is similar to the crowd investing from the Kickstarter days, but you know that wasn't very long lived. And I think the same will happen for STOs. It's just sort of this thing of like, oh, quick, let's change our name and hopefully that'll help us.
Yeah, it's like the hype.
Yep, the hype, exactly. So definitely beware of the hype. So what we've been advising our clients is that, look, you know, there was a moment, that moment's passed. I think there might still be a place for ICOs, but it's going to go back to the basics again, which is like you go to your traditional investors or the sophisticated investors and you try to raise from them. If you have a legitimate concept and product, you will find the money.
Yeah.
Right? Like any other business. I think the thing that was so appealing about ICOs last year was that like all of a sudden you could just get all of this money from a whole bunch of people that had no idea what your thing was about. But because it was in the crypto space and people heard stories about getting rich from Bitcoin and then wanting to be the next millionaire, FOMO, I don't want to miss out. So let me put some money and get in. But like everybody that came in, that was late 2017 and I saw it, they got wrecked, you know, like over the last year. That's why we're in this bear market, shaking out, you know, all the weak hands we called. For us, it's really about like just going back to basics, remembering like if you are creating a product or a business, what are the basics? What are the fundamentals? Remembering that, because technology will come and go.
Yeah.
These things have happened before. There was a dot-com bubble back in the 90s. People need to remember history.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things, even for the current generation, I think any generation really, it's like whenever there's something new, you go, this is like, exactly. Yes.
That's the new iPhone X. It's just a slightly bigger than the
old one. Exactly. It's like, I don't need that old thing anymore. But, you know, this is the thing is that, like, because I really love future tech, but also, like, the ancient past, you know, like, just past wisdoms, right? And I think it's important for us to constantly find that balance. And that's why we're about bridging that gap, too.
Yeah.
Between people in tech, past and the future, FIA being, like, we were talking the campfire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing people together around that.
Yeah.
That's essentially how we're approaching the ICO market right now.
You know, like we all have kind of, so this episode is called The Fire in Us.
I like it.
And like, you know, being in the tech industry and being like an entrepreneur, like, you know, there's been times I'm sure where you just be like, oh man, I just feel like I want to quit, you know,
especially
a lot of artists who are listening to this podcast can really relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
There's been times where you're just like, man, I just gotta eat, you know, I just gotta survive. Like, what do I do? Like, and it's like, man, I could easily just get a job. But
yes.
Like, I enjoy doing this.
Yes.
Like, how do you fuel that fire? Like, what fuels your fire?
You know,
or.
Yes. Like, I mean, there's the why. Because you were the one who mentioned that as well the other night. And the why aspect, I think, over time has become stronger for me.
Yeah.
I'd say when I tried all this, when I tried my own businesses in my early 20s, mid-20s, the first motivation I remember was my boss is an idiot, you know? And it was more of a, like, I can do better than you sort of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like ego. It's like, man,
it
I can do better than you. I can make more money than you.
Exactly.
It's like, you want to quit your job because your boss is an asshole.
Correct.
Like, that kind of vibe.
Correct. Very much ego driven, right? And you know, it's definitely taken me this time to learn that, you know, obviously there's a lot more to building a business. And so yeah, kudos to my original boss there. Hopefully I'll meet up with him one day and be like, okay, yep, you know, I definitely was a little bit I thought I was smarter than I was. So you know, that why was there. Then the other why became money. So the first one was about like, I can do better than you. Then the second one is like, ooh, I can make money. I found this opportunity. Explainer videos were not hot yet in Australia. I had this animation background. I started doing them, was making money. And I was like, ooh, I like this feeling of like making money.
Yeah.
Right, that was my one. But then this time around, I think after, you know, making it into my 30s, I don't know if it's an age thing or it's just time. but yeah, I feel like in my 30s, I have a better sense of who I am in the sense that I don't really give a fuck about stuff, you know, that used to affect me in the past. I don't care too much about proving a point, seeking validation from others. Like this one here is actually a lot deeper for me. So Faya is, you know, a Samoan word for spanning two divides or bringing the village together.
Ah.
That's the actual meaning for Faya. And I thought that was very fitting for a, you know, marketing or consulting firm that deals with people in tech, right? And, you know, especially like in this blockchain space where I was seeing that there were a lot of groups that were trying to rally around their projects or ideas, but there was this also this other aspect of like fundamentals. You know, it's like if you try to build something on shaky grounds, like the more you build on it, like, well,
it'll just collapse.
Correct. Yeah. And that's what we're starting to see in the crypto space. But yeah, in terms of motivation, I think what really motivates me is that that connection to my roots, right, from the Polynesian side, right?
Okay.
And then the tagline as well for us, just how like Nike has Just Do It, for us is it will come, right? Because there's this, with it will come, it's both an active and a sort of passive phrase. Active in the sense that like there's the will part, passive in the come, like, you know, it's like something future, it's not yet here. So you've got something that's present and active and then something that's future and a bit passive, right? But then that saying came from my great grandfather, right? So the original saying is Tena Loe Fanatu, which means it will come into volume.
How do you say it?
Tena.
Tena.
Loa.
Loa.
E. Fanatu.
Fanatu.
Yep. All right, and you know, this saying my mom shared with us as we grew up, like many times, right? But it's like taken on more and more meaning over time for me. And I would say that like that saying now has become my motto and my way of persevering when things get tough. So those moments, which I do have, where I'm just like, why am I doing this? Why do I choose to take such a lonely path? Why do I choose to do, you know, give up a, you know, six-figure job or whatever and like a cushiony life to start my own thing?
Yeah.
I've always had that there, even from when I started my career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just kept coming in and out, right? Most people would be like, you know, try once. It's like, okay, that wasn't for me. Not going to do it again. But, you know, I don't know if it's destiny. Yeah, something kept, exactly. And even when I was working my last job, shit was good.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved that company. But it's like the universe had another plan as well.
Yeah.
Because just even the things that transpired towards the end, it accelerated my plans. I actually wasn't even planning to leave for like 5 years. And then when I actually gave my letter, I still said like, oh, I'm going to do this next year. And then all this other stuff happened, and like it was like a pretty sweet situation that occurred.
Yeah.
But it just accelerated my plans. So all the things that I wanted to do, all of a sudden I could do now, and I didn't have to wait. So I took action. You know, there was nothing holding me back.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow, that's great. Hey, it will come.
It will come. Exactly.
What goes around comes around. Exactly. That's I guess that's kind of like the universe way of, you know, when you seek something, when you keep looking for it, it'll come.
It will come, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, are you really like spiritual in that sense? Like,
yeah, I mean, look, I family, because of my, once again, my Polynesian side, like we're on a family of dreamers, pretty superstitious. I don't know if I'm that superstitious myself anymore, but growing up, there was a lot of superstitions and, you know, believing in the other side, you know, ghosts, spirits, all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that type of spiritual, you know, not just like going to a retreat or those sort of things type spiritual, but like, yeah, really embedded in our culture and stuff. So yeah, you know, one of the things my mom used to say too was like the power of words. Words are very powerful.
Yeah.
And you know, things like it will come. Becomes like a mantra, right? And you say it over and over again, that literally becomes a thing. Like every time that I'm feeling low, I just shake it off, get up, and say it will come. And because things happen.
Mindset. That's really exactly. Mindset. Like, you don't really think about mindset until you've been through some shit. Like, exactly. Everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, motivation. But like, doesn't really work on an everyday basis until you hit that low point that, you know, most people don't really enter until they hit that, like, they go into entrepreneurship. I think a lot of these artists, they're trying to step out on their own, do their own thing. So as, you know, as you're, you know, building this, what are, like, some of the things do you mind sharing that made you want it to quit? Like, you know, that you thought of, like, you're just like, oh!
Yeah. And for FIA or for some of the past things? For FIA. Have I thought about...
Like, have you ever just been through this, like, low, you're just like, oh my god, it will come. You just gotta take a breather, it's like,
yeah.
And then you came through.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I think there was 5 minutes. Out of so far since I've started, there's only been, like, there was, like, 5 minutes. I remember I was in my bed, and I was just about to go to bed, switch off the lights. I was looking at the time. And I was going, fuck, like, it's just me. It's just me. Because, like, in my life, one, I'd always have family around, right? Two, I was married. I went through a divorce, right? And I did that whole thing of, like, you know, getting married, getting the house, getting the car, getting the high-paying job. That whole narrative I went through, right? And... all of that is gone, right? So, you know, talking about, like, the hard stuff that hit you.
Yeah.
And not only that, there were other things too, like family-wise and, you know, father not being around for, like, my sisters and stuff, and then having to be the dad in the family. Then my father figures being some of my uncles. Then over 3 years, three of them died all one after another. Yeah, like, so those sort of things, like, really do play on you. And you know, after that happened too, I remember where I could not find any role models around me, so I had to tell myself and make a decision.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if I can't look up to anybody, I gotta look to myself.
Yeah.
And that was, like, kind of the beginning of when I just understood the power of, like, just deciding, believing in yourself, and not seeking out external validation or what. So yeah, you know, like that 5 minutes that I had. You know, I was like, damn, I'm alone, you know, and you feel it. But then very quickly, you know, the whole it will come and, like, my culture, and I feel like ancestors, whatever you want to call it, right? Like, there's just a feeling that comes over and just goes, hey, look at where you are, right? Like, despite everything, you've made it here to Singapore. You're staying in a pretty nice ass place.
Yeah.
You've got a bed. You've got air conditioning, you've got a roof over your head, you've got your own business now, right? All of these things, like, you asked for. And that's one of the things. It's like, in life, there are certain things that, like, either consciously or unconsciously, you ask for. And when you get it, be grateful for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. That's deep. That's so crazy, because it's like, I kind of went through the same thing last year. I was like, man, I need a new space. That's why I'm here in Singapore right now, matter of fact. I think the universe has such an interesting way of, like, putting you in somewhere you didn't expect.
Yeah.
And giving you something that's like an opportunity with craziness in the skies, right?
Exactly.
And within all that, that's the fire.
Yes,
you know, that's fire. That's what makes us live. So.
Exactly.
That's, wow.
Yeah, sorry if we went too deep.
No, that's cool. That's all good. Because, I mean, I think a lot of artists can relate to that. Because, I mean, entrepreneurship is a very lonely road.
Yes.
Especially, you know, you have your own ideas. You want to put yourself out there.
Yep.
It's very scary. It's very daunting. Especially, you know, you're putting your talents out there. You're putting yourself out there. You have to be very vulnerable to these people. And do you have any, like, suggestions, any, like, final words you want to say to the artists that are listening to this podcast?
Yeah.
That are trying to start their own thing or, like, you know, put that fire.
Yeah, fire into you, right?
Yeah.
I would say, you know, it's important to I think you mentioned this as well about the why, right? Sometimes, I think to be one, easy on yourself, to know that you won't have all the answers straight away.
Yeah.
That's another thing about it will come. It's like this weird thing of like, you have to be decisive, but then also at the same time, be patient with yourself for all the details. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's important is that you know where you want to go,
right?
But it's like, you have to kind of also be flexible on the way. Because even if you have a plan, reality hits and that plan can change.
Yeah.
Right?
But you gotta know your end game.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? Where do you want to get to? Right? And, you know, I think this was a thing around sort of legacy, which I think we talked about before, yeah. Right? Legacies. You know, like, where do you want to get to and, you know, how flexible you can be? So, especially as someone who was a creative as well, it's like the mindset around money, I think, is also really important to make healthier.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of creatives who have unhealthy relationships to money because they've, you know, might have boxed themselves in as the starving creative, you know, or thinking that, like, you know, I'll just be creative and somebody else will handle the money side.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, these days, you cannot afford that. You know, because there's a lot of stories too of like artists, like as an example, who in the past used to get screwed over, right? Because they're like, oh, I'll just be the creative and I'll let, you know, my manager do this. And then, I mean, it happened to Michael Jackson, it happened to TLC, it happened to, you know, at the height, I think, of TLC's career, right? They were broke as hell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, they were like rocking up to the Grammys in like a shitty, like, four-wheel drive or something. Because, yeah, they were just getting screwed left, right, and center.
Yep.
So I think it's very important for you to take the time to learn about money. You know, because, yeah, even for me, once upon a time, I just thought it's something that other people can handle.
Yeah.
You know, but I went through a very, I call it like a spiritual phase too around money, where it was literally just like destroying all my old beliefs around money. Mm. You know, and it changes your world because then you see the world in a new way as well. You realize like what the blocks were when you were in that stage earlier, you know, and then you also then start to get compassion for people to be like, okay, I can see that like you're wanting to get here.
Yeah.
I can see you're actually probably not ready yet. And you just actually have to allow people to go through the experiences of life before there is that emotional change.
Yeah.
Because I think people do not change until there's something that like big happens to them.
Yes, until you're uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, but there are ways to actually like accelerate that. Tony Robbins, I don't know if you heard of Tony Robbins.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right,
yes.
Right. So Tony Robbins, I went to one of his events recently.
Yeah.
And you know, I did learn like the power of like being able to visualize very consciously the pain of not doing particular things.
Is it The Power of Wealth, that one?
No. This one that we went to was Unleash the Power Within, the name of the event,
okay.
Right?
But on the cold.
Oh yeah, walked on fire, right? Walked on fire. It's like perfect, like, introduction, initiation into FIRE itself as a company. But I think the biggest thing was like learning how to visualize. A lot of times people think when visualizing, it's like a positive thing. But Tony Robbins took the other side. He actually got us to visualize the worst case scenario of you not doing the things you wanted to do. Yes. And going that deep to the point where like, you know, everybody was pretty much in a trance and people started screaming, shouting, hitting things. You know, they had to put security guards everywhere just to like, you know,
control the crowd. Wow, they really started like hypnotizing them.
Yeah, but you know, it's very conscious, right? Like,
yeah.
So you're aware of what's going on, but it is like, you know, they're doing like guided meditations and
yeah.
Whatnot.
It's kind of like blurring out all of the subconscious,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people are not ready for that. It's
yeah, exactly. Some people sat out. Some people were like, nope, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
Too dark.
Mm-mm.
And that's another thing that I would say is, like, learn to face your shadow, your darkness. You, like, you are not complete unless you can reconcile both your light and dark.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Because we all have... I mean, I feel like a lot of artists, like, create art from their darkness.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's channeled, right? Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Art is the expression of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you've got to, you know, be friends with your demons before you can
yep.
actually excel in everything you do.
Correct. Because otherwise, like, you're ignoring a part of you. you're not giving full expression. And even then, the dark side or the demons are just judgments we've placed on ourselves,
yep,
or those aspects based on what we've been taught in society.
Yeah. I always say, like, those negative thoughts that you have, someone put those in there.
Yeah, I can see that, you know. And yeah, because they're judgments again, right? So you'd have the thoughts, then because of the way that you've been taught in life, you will judge those thoughts.
Yep.
But they are just thoughts.
The art's not giving a fuck.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Make sure you give the fuck about what's worth giving a
fuck. Yeah, exactly. Focus your fucks.
Yes.
Yep.
Don't worry. It's explicit content.
Yep. Yep.
Cool. Well, how can we find you on social medias? How do we get in?
Yes. All right. So, for the Fire brand itself, literally, it is at Fire brand. So that's FAIA brand. That's for the company. If you want to connect with me personally, it is Siosism. So that's at SIOSI. Siosi is my Tuvalu name is my Tuvalu name for George, actually. Oh. So if you translate it, it'd be George Samuel. So I usually go by George Siosi Samuels. But that's only because there's a lot of George Samuels on the internet. So I have to like distinguish, right? So at Siosi and then SM at the end. The SM, I added that funny story around it, but it puts an ism. So it's like the philosophy of Siosi. That's why we have the Siosism.
Siosism.
Mm-hmm.
What's Siosism?
Yeah, so it's literally the philosophy of me.
Ah,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
The new Aristotle.
Yeah, right.
Hey,
yep.
You got some pretty good stuff, you know, might write a, you know, philosophy book.
Oh right, man, now. It's in the plans.
Hey.
Yep. It will come, right?
It will come.
Exactly.
Oh, you're going to be in like the university, you know, like when you're older, to be like, this is fun. Hey.
Oh man, that'd be crazy, right?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
It'd be like going all blessed. Like, I completed my life's work. Cool. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Do you want to say anything to the fans out there, to your fans? Oh,
to my fans, current and future. Yeah, I will end with the same. Tena loe fanatu. It will come, and you know, make your mark in this world. Light the world on fire.
Love it. Thank you so much.
Hey, it's your favorite host, me, Azzy. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Late Night Talk Show. So if you have any questions for us or like my station, feel free to drop me a line, hop on to Anchor, and give me a call in. I will respond to you and answer any questions that you may have. If you like my content, just hit the little star button and hit the follow if you're listening to this on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this from. I see you and I love you. And be sure to reach out to me on Instagram at azy.chyr and I'll holla back at you. Just slide into my DMs. How you doing? Say hi to your girl.